Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
How are we all doing?
Great.
Great to hear.
How you doing?
Mr. Tool is hard to imitate. That was Mr. Tool, by the way. He's hard to imitate. He's really hard to imitate. That was unplanned. He's hard to imitate. All of us guys are hard to imitate, yes? 'Cause we're dudes! Right? We're dudes! So my wife would say that I'm a dude. Hey, I haven't done that in a while. That was fun. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Yes? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to continue in part 2 of the message that we had 2 weeks ago, I guess. And to build well is the encouragement. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 5 through 15 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will be evident. For the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on, remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we are grateful for you being the master builder and for the example that we have on as to how we are to build. And you've even provided the foundation with which we can build a solid structure. We're grateful to be the people called and chosen to be your construction workers, and let's pray that through these verses we can further understand and realize that you are calling us to build well, not just to go through the motions, but that we should build well. And so we do that through many different things, but we have each other to encourage one another, and to stimulate each other to continue in this process. We will follow this and follow the example that Christ has given us. And we thank you and praise you in his name. Amen. Okay. Sorry. I'm working through a cough, so we'll see how this goes. But and just a little bit of a review for those that weren't with us last time. God deserves all the glory, right? He's the one. He deserves all the glory. Well, now we get the victory, but God gets the glory. And Paul says, who's Apollo? Who's Apollos? Who's Paul, right? We're servants through whom you believe. But it's God that causes the growth. Okay? And we also looked at God in what we just read there. God is the foundation. right? And so we need to build on Him as the foundation. You know, we read Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborer who builds in vain, right? So it doesn't matter what we're doing. If we're striving for excellence in our workplace, if it's in our relationships, if God isn't the foundation, it's going to be difficult for that to stand. And so we want to build on Him as the foundation. And particularly with this, God's talking about His church, right? We're building the church, one living stone at a time. And so that's particularly what this is working on. And also, there's no foundation unless it's Christ Jesus. And that's the teaching that Paul is going through here. And we looked at some of that 2 weeks ago. And so, but the very next thing that Paul brings out, we well brought out last time, is, you know, we need to build right. We need to build right. We need to build right so that this thing stands the test of time. And so that's the encouragement here. And so we also looked at the work ethic. You know, we've grown, most of us, many of us, have grown up in a society that, you know, we look to immediate gratification. There's no long-term sight. There's no long-term planning. And so we want to be those types of builders that are thinking long-term in our mindset. You know, not just what's in right in front of us. And so we looked at that as well. We want, in order to build well, we have to have a long-range plan. And that's what, you know, Scriptures will really gives us, but we have to be long-term thinking. And also, we looked at, you know, we are the church, and we're building up the church, and we have different roles. But this particularly is talking about individually. Individually, we need to build well. And we're all called to be builders. We're all called to be builders. Now, some of us have different parts of that building process, right? If we're going to use the construction euphemism, we all can't be the framers. You know, we all can't be concrete people. Or, we each have our different roles. But as individuals, we need to build well with it, whatever's in our lane. And so, we also looked at, without building well, we're just not going to last. We're not going to make it. And God wants us to make it. He set us up for success. It's upon us. The onus is upon us to, from there then, to build well. And so we talked about that. The book of Revelation talks about he who overcomes. But brethren, if we don't build well, we won't overcome. We just won't. And so that's the encouragement. You know, let's build well. And we have a track to run on. God's done most of the heavy lifting. And so, you know, we talked about we're either preparing to win or we're preparing to lose. But right now, there's that process taking place. But each of us is going to have to give an account. We're individual builders building the same structure. But each of us, what Paul's working on here is that each man will either receive a reward or not based on how he built. And so as individuals, we're going to have to make that give an account. And so the commitment then, we need to commit to the plan, also what we talked about. And so we need to commit to the process. And that's the long-term process and the long-term, long-range vision. That's how we're going to run this thing through to the finish line. If we run each day, each hour, just for that hour, then we're going to struggle in that process. And we also looked at, you know, how Jesus encourages the builder to count the costs. You know, we need to, before we start this process, we need to work through that. What is this going to take? Count the cost, Jesus said. And, you know, we looked at that in Luke chapter 14. You know, he wants a builder to first sit down and calculate the cost and what it's going to cost to complete that project. Because he doesn't want us to be a source of ridicule. You know, so many individuals we've seen get into this place and just like a buzzsaw for God. And then when there's a little bit of trials or tribulations, their saw quits and they bail. Okay, we want to be long-term builders, and in order to do that, we need to make sure that we're going to have what it takes to cross the finish line. And sometimes there's some things that are added to us in that process that we didn't have when we started, but that's fine. That's part of the process as well, as long as we're still chugging forward with that finish line focus. And so we talked about the three little pigs, right, and how they built. And somehow Tony came out and was talking about the three pigs. But I'm not sure how that happened, but I won't do that again. It gets a little tiresome. But no, seriously. We talked about the pig that built with straw. No, there I go again. The pig that built with straw and the pig that built with sticks. Well, huff and a puff and they're gone, right? The third pig, the pig that built diligently, saved his brothers, right? He built well. He took his time. And, the story talks about the big bad wolf, right? Well, scriptures don't bring out a big bad wolf, but I'm sure I remember something about a roaring lion, right? Seeking someone to devour. And so in our verses, it says fire comes. Is your structure going to stand? And that's the testing. And I mentioned this before. I don't think that's talking about the day of judgment. That's going to, each one of our works is going to be tested, is what Paul's bringing out. And so the other thing that we talked about is that the story of the three little pigs doesn't tell you when the wolf is coming. How long did it take the wolf to show up? And we don't know that either, so we need to build well today. And so that catches us up today, and now I'm out of time. Oh, I'm just kidding. So build well, right? We've heard it a lot. Build well. Okay, so how do we do that? First off, the question, why didn't the first two brothers build well? Why didn't they build well? We'll just keep it kind of simple. It was too hard to build well. They wanted to do it and do it easy. It took too long. Man, I got things to do. Let's get this done. You know? And so we need to look at the process and not shortcut this thing. You know, Mr. Toole brought it out in Peaks. You know, we can't shortchange this. This is valuable. This building is the most valuable building out there. And so we can't look at how to shortcut this thing. But, you know, the temptation in the Lord's church is, I want to make this thing easier. How can we make this thing easier? You know, and that's fine to work hard. Work smart while you're working hard. But we can't take shortcuts. We got to follow the plan. We got to follow the pattern that has been given. And so we have to work within that. Building the temple the right way, right? So, you know, that process where all the stones were cut off site, you know, and then they were brought in and they were put in just into place. That's a lot of work. Building the temple of God is a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but it's work that will stand the test of time. It's work that will stand up to the fires of this world. And so we got to ask ourselves, is my structure going to stand? And is what I'm doing right now going to help this structure stand? Or is it going to get blown over by a huffing and a puffing? Okay? Is this structure going to stand? Is it going to stand for 10 years? Is this congregation going to be here for the next 20 years, 50 years, because what we do today will determine that, okay? So we need to build well. If we don't build well, we're not saving anybody's soul, and those living stones will disappear. And so that's what Paul's working on here, okay? And so some practical key points here that I want to work through. First, I probably don't have time for this, but you all will stay late, I'm sure. First, build with true Christians. Okay? We got to build with true Christians. We got to build with real builders, God's builders. Okay? Now, you know, we're out there, we're trying to make we're trying to make relationships right. We're trying to meet people outside of the church. And, you know, sometimes the process is we get to know people, and then, you know, they come to assembly with us. And that's great. But when they come to assembly and they see what a family we are, and man, people are looking for that. And so they want to hang out more. So they come to assembly more and more, right? And they like being part of this family. And before you know it, they're taking the Lord's Supper. And, you know, that's fine. You know, we don't check meal passes here, right? But let's be honest. You know, Jared well brought out it this morning. Oh my gosh, that was so perfect. The Lord's Supper is a kingdom meal. Now, unless you've gone through the process to be a citizen, right, Katya? Unless you become a citizen in that legal process, and not that you have to pay thousands of dollars, but you're not a citizen. So in that kingdom meal, then that's just crackers and juice, right? That's a great example of what Paul's working on here. We got to have some true builders here, and that's what God's looking for. And so in that process, you know, you can partake of the cracker and the juice, but that's all it is. This is a kingdom meal. There's a process to become a true Christian. If you're not a true Christian, you're not a true citizen. You're just having crackers and juice. And so that's what we want to build on. And so the scripture is very clear, and I know we know it very well. Mr. Lorenzo went through this real well, so we don't have to belabor this, but there's a process to becoming a biblical Christian. You can't cut corners there. You're either a true Christian of the kingdom or you're not. Okay? But we have to stand on that process. We have to follow the pattern as God's chosen people, His royal priesthood. We can't shortcut that process. And so if our job is seeking and saving the lost, we have to take a stand on that. Sometimes that's not fun. Well, I've been baptized. I was baptized as a baby. Okay, well, that was my experience too, but guess what? It doesn't count. And someone might say, well, that's a little harsh. Look, we have to stand on truth. That's what we are, pillars in support of the truth. We can't shortcut that process. It seems mean to some people, but that's the way it is. Well, you know, I was baptized to show that I believe God and I've been saved. Okay, well, that doesn't count. That's not biblical. We have to stand on what Scripture says. And so, again, it's providing that the Bible, proving that the Bible really, truly is the authority. You know, that's the important study that we have to work people through, because if not, then you're just being mean. That's not the case. We're standing on what this thing says. We are people of the book, right? So we have to stand on that. So here's another thing. Scripture talks about being immersed. Okay, that word baptized, we say immersed because that word baptized is meaningless. It's all-encompassing, right? Well, that's not what Scriptures say. It doesn't say plunging, sprinkling, or pouring. No, it's immerse. You know, and I've had people say, well, you're splitting hairs there a little bit, aren't you? No, I'm not. Scripture does, okay? The other thing that we well brought out in a class recently is that a person has to be an accountable individual, right? Someone taught a class on that. They have to be spiritually mature adult. Okay? Hey, that's what this says. And that's what we're standing on. Another thing that someone might say, well, I was baptized and I know that I'm saved. Well, why were you baptized? Because you can't have it's not a two-way thing. Why were you baptized? It matters. And so the scripture actually says, you know, there's a process, and it's well brought out. Jesus himself in Mark 16:16 lays it out. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You know what they hear? He who believes is saved and should be baptized. That's not what it says. And so we have to, part of building well, brethren, is standing on that truth. And so we have to be certain that we're building with God's people. True builders. Okay, you can turn to Ezra 4. This is a great example that we have from the Old Testament. You know, Ezra and his buddies, they're rebuilding the temple, right? In chapter 4, there's some people that come along and want to build too, right? They want to join Ezra and the gang. But in Ezra chapter 4, verse 3, but Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the father's households of Israel said to them, "You have nothing in common with us in building house to our God. But we ourselves will together build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." We're builders. We don't have anything in common with you. We'll build our own temple. Okay? They had no interest in building it. Okay? Hebrews 9, as a requirement, it brings it out. Our consciences have to be cleansed. Right? We have to be cleansed so that we can serve the living God, is what it says. So that we can serve, our conscience has to be cleansed. In the Old Testament, could the priest serve without being washed? No. That was the process. You cannot serve God without being cleansed. Okay, what's the New Testament process? We know, we don't have to go through that. But if you're not on his team, you're not part of his church. If you're not on his team, you're not part of his church, you're not a builder. And you're not building the Lord's church. Until you follow the plan, until you followed his building plan, and until you've become a card-carrying member, trained and brought up in the building process, you're not a builder. Okay? There's a process to that, and we have to stick to that. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 through 5 says, it talks about Jesus being a living stone, right? And it says that you are all living... excuse me, you're all living stones as well, being built up, right? And oh yeah, what was it, gold, silver, precious stones? Yeah, these living stones, right? These living stones are precious in the sight of God. So we can't build without people that aren't true Christians, okay? That's first. Second, place reason over emotion. Anybody run into this? Is this a problem? It's a big problem. The scriptures exist, and you know, here's the thing: the scriptures exalt this, and so we all need to exalt it as well. Okay, where the scriptures put emphasis on is where we put emphasis on. So put reason over emotion. Nobody's saying emotions aren't real. They're real. Nobody's saying that emotions don't mean anything. They mean something. Okay? But that's not the drive. That's not the true nature. Here's an example. I think Mr. Toole actually used this, but if he hasn't, this is my idea. Warning lights on your dash, right? They'll flash when something's wrong. It means that something needs some attention usually, right? And here's a tip. If you get one of those, don't ignore it, okay? But that warning light brings your attention to an issue, but it doesn't tell you what the issue is, okay? It's bringing it to light, okay? In order for you to find out what the issue is, you got to dig further. You got to have a code reader, I guess, or plug it in and it tells you the code, and then you got to find out what the code is, and then usually you just got to pay someone. So, you know, but that warning light just brings your attention to it. The scripture elevates reason over emotion, and this is something that our culture fights. It fights it because, you know, the majority of the time the decisions are typically made off emotion rather than what the facts are. You see it's prevalent in our day. Okay? The problem with that is that emotions can be misleading, can't they? Have you ever had your emotions lead you astray? I have. More than once. right? They misguide you. You remember Jacob? Remember Jacob? He saw his bloody coat, right? He was told that his son was dead, that he was torn to bits. For how long did Jacob believe his son was dead? He was alive. The whole time he was alive. He didn't know. He didn't have all the facts. He went on what he was told in his emotion. I'm going down to Sheol in my gray hair, right? He didn't have all the facts. God says in Isaiah chapter 1, come now, let us reason together. You know, we have to help people have their faith founded in fact. And that is foreign out there. You know, faith is just a blind leap. You know, I think it's the New King James says evidence. You know, faith is the assurance and the evidence of things unseen. I think the Rotherham says fact, actually, there. And so their faith, we have to help them have their faith grounded in fact or evidence, something solid. And so if we don't do that, it's going to be like that fire that's made up of cardboard and paper, and it's just going to go poof, and it's going to burn bright and hot quick, and then it's going to be gone. So without that, that's what we're going to see. Things go up real quick, and all of a sudden it's gone. How many times have we seen that with people as well? Because they were driven on emotion. And I think it was Luke, I remember talking about an individual that went through some personal issues. I can't think of who it was offhand. But they wanted to get immersed, and Luke said, well, let's hold on a second, because you've got a lot of emotional things going on. Let's just hold off. You know, our decision to follow Christ cannot be based and embedded in emotion. It needs to be based on fact, on calculating facts. And so, you know, the third thing is God's Word. God's Word or personal experience? Who's had a bout with that? Yeah. God's Word or experience? I probably shouldn't have done this because I can't spell. That's experience. I know Kevin and I used to work with a guy, and he didn't care what this said. Are you laughing at my spelling? It looks right to me. Hey, what are you going to do? We worked with a guy at Hart's Furniture, and he didn't care what the Bible said. I mean, he knew it and he read it, but what trumped that was his life experience. And you could not talk him out of it. I know, and I see what you're saying, but I know what I've experienced. And he elevated that above the scriptures. It's a difficult one in this time, in this age, because we live in an age of non-reason, right? Where a man is a girl, a boy, a man is a woman is a man, and there's something in between there. I'm not sure what it is, but, you know, there's no absolutes. Find the truth within your own head. You know, that's what religion has brought about. It's made an individual as their own prophet. Okay? Well, when God spoke to me and I felt this, or I experienced this or that. Okay? Scripture has a problem with that, by the way. God has a problem with that. Prophets who say God spoke to me when he didn't. We've seen examples of that. I never told them to run, and they ran. They got wiped out, right? God's word has to be and needs to be elevated. It is the authority, okay? And our personal experience need to follow God's word, and it needs to line up with that, but that's not our motor coach, okay? The proof comes from the scriptures, and so we need to be careful with that. We need to be cautious. What we win people with is what we win people to. And so if we win people with a bunch of personal and experiential stuff, that thing's going to burn up and die out. You're going to have lots of problems down the road. And so there's one foundation as Paul's working here. That's that of Jesus Christ. And so we need to remember, we've been born again according to the imperishable seed, right? The Word of God. The Word of God that endures forever. And so we need to build on that. Fourth is build with sound doctrine. Okay, we need to stand on and have sound doctrine. Build with sound doctrine. Okay, We'll work on that a little bit. I don't know how you do it, Mr. Tool. That's hard. Hey, I'm trying, okay? I'm new at this. I'm a dude! Build with sound doctrine, right? Hey, if we can't have fun, what are we doing, huh? Right? That's my motto. In elevating God's word, okay, we need to build with sound doctrine along with elevating God's word. What's the purpose of elevating God's word if it's not sound doctrine? Okay, those two are synonymous. And of course, this would come from scriptures, okay? From scriptures, not tradition of men. Okay, from scriptures, from the word of God. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Okay, in Titus chapter 1, one of the responsibilities and qualifications of elders is that they need to be able to hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, right? And that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict, okay? And Titus, the evangelist, is told in chapter 2, verse 1, "As for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Okay? We got to teach the truth because the truth is under attack. More and more every day. We got to teach the truth. Okay? You know, I have multiple Bibles. And I like having multiple Bibles. Switch them out occasionally. I have a study Bible. I think many of you have a study Bible as well. I've heard some of you reference it. All these notes. Right? And it's great to an extent. But when you have two verses at the top of a page and then the following two pages are notes saying why that doesn't mean what it says, I have a problem with that. Okay? That's wrong. Because those notes are from someone else, some other fleshly guy, and it's ultimately, it's their opinion. It's not scripture. It's tradition. It's men. It's doctrine of men. And so we have to have sound doctrine, which means from the words of the Holy Spirit, inspired and moving men inspired by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Written by men, authored by God. Okay? Not from somebody's opinion, not from somebody's tradition, but what this says is what I think it says. No, it comes from God. And so, you know, another thing I don't like, and I think we talked about this, we were talking something similar to this morning. False testimony leads to false doctrine. I'm sorry, false terminology, right, leads to false doctrine. People talking about things like the sinner's prayer, you know, or accepting Jesus into their heart. If you can show me that terminology in the scriptures, I'd like to read it, because I haven't been able to find it. It's false terminology, and it leads to false doctrine, which leads to the ruin of the hearers, right? And so what we want to do is have the Bible define Bible terms, right? False terminology is dangerous also, and so we want to be careful with that. We don't believe the teachings of this church. We believe the teachings of this book. And we are a church of the book. We are people of the book, not the other way around. Okay? Fifth. How's that, Mr. Tool? Our lives. Pretty important, right? It's a pretty important one. Our lives have to back up our teaching. Brethren, the most dangerous thing out there in Christendom is someone saying that they're a Christian and living a devilish life. Our lives have to back up our teaching, or at least it should. If they don't, the people will be in ruin that we're working with. Okay, and we'll have no ground to stand on. Jesus said if the blind man leads the blind man, they both ended up in the pit. Right? So our lives need to follow our teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we probably don't need to go there because it was brought up this morning. In verse 16, Paul says to Timothy, "Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. If we're asking people to be imitators of me as I am of Christ, we need to be imitators of Christ. And that's in all facets of our life. I'm going at blister speed here. Six, pass these on. Okay? We have to be people that are training up guys that can do this also. It was well brought out this morning. Okay? We have to be training new Christians to do this same thing. You know, and I'm going to stop for a sidebar here too. This includes our children. You know, the sidebar here is I've really enjoyed youth fellowship because, man, these young people, they know their stuff. I just am amazed all the time. I'm so proud of these guys. They know their Bible. You know, and what we've been working on with them is that, you know, it's the knowledge is great. Now apply it into your life and in working with others in love. Okay? And that's an important thing. But I'm super, super encouraged by the young people. And I love hanging out with them. So we have, in this congregation, we have various guys that get up here as new Christians, and we try to get them involved, if they're willing, to come up here and do the Lord, to do the public reading, to work into a stewardship, to do the Lord's Supper, and who knows, maybe preaching as well. And we do that because it's encouraging all of us to see that growth. Mr. Toole was talking about, I love to see the people hit their goals, right? To see that growth, that's incredibly encouraging. It has been for me over the years. But, you know, they're being encouraged. They're learning how to provide or to present the information, right? They work their way through it and they present it to the group. We're all edified in that process. But you know what happens in that? He's growing. He's growing in that. And so that's an important part. We're not only just training guys up for looks, you know, so there's a process to that. But in that also, there's a responsibility that we have, not just to bring those guys up, but they have a responsibility in that process to prove some things along the way. They have to prove their willingness to seek and save the lost. Okay? They need to prove that they're solid on what scriptures say in order to come up here. You know, they have to prove that they can preach the truth and not for selfish ambition or gain. You know, running their own agenda. You know, a lot of times guys get up here and they'll talk about something that and maybe it's scriptural, maybe it's not. But how do I say this? It's kind of an extracurricular activity, if you will. You know, things that we can't really support 100% with the scriptures, but we want to talk about it anyway. No, let's stick to the things we can talk and that we can nail down 100% from the scriptures, okay? Let's keep the major things, and the minor things where they belong in the minors, okay? What scriptures emphasize, we emphasize. I'm sorry, I'm way over. And so we'll wrap up there, but we want to make sure that we're building right, brethren. And I'm sure there's more steps than, wow, that is a mess. I'm sure there's more steps than these six, but these are just ones that I have had emphasized over the years and some of the messages that I've heard. And so, but we want to build right. Here's the last thing I'm going to leave you with. It's not, we need to be committed to this process. We need to be committed to building right. The other thing is, we need to know not just what we believe, but why we believe it. Okay, that's critical. And I'm hoping that Brother Schaefer will, in his Wednesday night class, will do apologetics, because that's a big part, big key of it too. We have to be able to defend that part of it as well. So I apologize for keeping us over. Let's have a quick close. Father God in heaven, we are grateful to you. We do love you. We do want to be pleasing in your sight. And so I pray that you'd be with us in our conversations this week, that we can boldly speak your words of truth, and that we will stand on that no matter how comfortable how uncomfortable it might be. Help us to be bold in our speech and to bring glory to your name. It's in Christ's name through which we pray and give thanks. Amen.